Welcome back, everyone. It is time for a very special review here at Nine Circles. This is a podcast of sorts, even though we're not on the iTunes podcast app. This is a review of sorts, an interview of sorts. We have the best of multiple different worlds right now. I'm excited to bring it to you. I'm your host, Dan Kaplan, and with me, special guest from up in Queens, New York, the man, the myth, the legend, the sword master, Mr. Frank Santarelli. Frank, how you doing, man? Welcome to the pod.
I'm doing well, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. It is a pleasure to have you on. We saw each other about a month ago, but not even a month ago, but it's good to see your face again. It's good to be chatting with you again, because I don't know, I feel isolated in Pennsylvania without my metal brethren, you know? Especially you. You're the dude. You're Mr. Awesome, Mr. Frank right here.
Well, I appreciate that. I feel isolated in Queens, New York. I'll tell you that much. There's not much here where I am right now. But it was great to see you. It was great to see got to see Corey too. It was great to see you guys a few weeks ago. It's great to chat with you now.
Yeah. Now, what has been going on metallically up in New York? Have you been? You've been to any shows lately? Have anything going on with the metal world up there of note?
You know, I was supposed to go to the Artificial Brain Pieron Couch Club show on Sunday, but it was Mother's Day, and my parents were actually away on vacation, but they came back early, so I couldn't make it to the show.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But I was, a couple of weeks ago, I went to two shows in about 4 days.
Oh, man.
Power metal shows, Sabaton and Hammerfall, so it was pretty good. Pretty good.
Excellent. Well, I want to hear more about those. We're gonna have to talk more about those on First, Last, and Always on my other podcast. But
Absolutely. But
hey, I'm glad it's there's stuff going on up there, because there is nothing going on down here, let me tell you.
Well, New York has always been, you know, you'll always find something in New York. That's the one thing about it. But you know, it all depends on where you are and how far you have to travel, and if you have to take the subway. And yeah. If you have to take the subway, you kind of not want to go.
I was talking to some friends about this the other day, and I realized, like, as much fun as I had at just any of those Vitus shows over the years, I do not miss taking the G home at like midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. sometimes. I remember I saw Yob there, and we got home at like 2:30. I don't miss that.
No,
I like being able to drive places. That helps matters.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just because for people who don't know New York, people who've never been to New York, people who've never taken the subway, it's a necessity here in New York. It's not like it's a luxury. You have to take the subway, especially if you're going into the city.
Right.
But it just the people in the subway are just assholes.
They're the worst.
I don't know if I can say it any other way. It just sucks.
The subway in general is the worst. So, you know, the riders, as an extension of that, are also the worst.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Well, everything about it, from waiting on the platform to getting into a crowded train, from people smelling, people with their bags not putting it in between their legs, instead of the backpacks, they're carrying it on their back, carrying God knows what.
We're seething so much right now that we're just like having trouble completing sentences over the subway.
And I don't even take it that much anymore, and I'm still like, no. But hey, that's part of the beauty of New York. What do you expect?
That it is. Folks at home, I mentioned we are doing a very special edition of the pod. It's a review. It's an interview. We'll call it an Ask the Expert column, because Frank, as we all know, is as we discussed before, you're kind of the power metal guru in our circle. It's a genre. It's a subgenre that I admit we don't cover it enough at Nine Circles. And so what we're doing here is we're going to, attempt to correct that a little bit. We're doing a double review. Ask the expert, two power metal albums, recent power metal albums, one of which Frank really enjoyed, and the other of which not as much a fan of, would you say?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I am, being the noob that I am about power metal, I'm going to ask questions and, mm-hmm. and fill me in. And then we'll talk about the albums and fill me in, you know, why don't you like them? Why do you like them? Stuff like that. It's just going to be, it's a power metal chat here on the podcast. First of hopefully many, but yeah, let's start this off. I know you said you wanted to save the best for last.
Right.
So let's start off. The album that you told me you weren't quite as into is Astral Doors. That's the band. The album is Black Eyed Children. Now this came out about a month and a half ago, it looks like, end of March.
It came out April 28th.
Oh,
It came out April 28th. The other one came out in March.
Oh, okay. Metal Archives is got me wrong here. Yes. I apologize.
No, they got it wrong. Even I looked at it back then. They got the date wrong. They should have corrected it, but for a website that continues to put Sloth singles as every day and won't include Couch Slut, I don't take them too seriously.
Fix your shit, Metal Archives.
That's right.
Fix it right now. Okay, so April 28th, much more recent than a month and a half ago. And Astral Doors is from Sweden, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me about these guys a little bit, because I know this is album number 7 or 8 for them? I mean, they've been around a little while.
This is album number 8. Most notably, their singer is Nils Patrick Johansson. He's been with Lion's Share. He's done the first three Civil War albums.
Oh, I remember you being really into them.
Yeah.
Into Civil War.
He's considered the, vocally, the angry Ronnie James Dio. He's got a very Ronnie James Dio-like voice, but just more angry, more rough sounding, but still a wonderful voice. To me, he's one of the greatest voices in power metal.
Okay.
Nowadays. The thing with this album, it's good. I just want to say, this album is good, but good is not good enough for a band who's been around for a long time. This is their 8th album. Back a few years ago, they put an album out. The name escapes me.
Requiem of Time, Jerusalem?
Yes, that's it. Requiem of Time, that's the one.
Okay.
It just was not good. 15 tracks.
Oof.
Many of the tracks. Yeah. Many of the tracks were just boring. They were boring tracks. Then Jerusalem picked it up a little bit. Now, for people who don't know who Astral Doors, Astral Doors does a lot of a lot of history and a lot of religious history. And Jerusalem was more like war history. They did a song called Operation Freedom, which was about the war in Iraq. They did a song about Pearl Harbor.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They started to build back up. That was a better record than Requiem of Time. Notes of the Shadow was from 2014.
That was their last album before this.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was the revival. That was a tremendous record. They have a song called Die Alone. It's about 9 minutes long, but it's just very powerful, very strong. With power metal, you need a lot of structure. And it was very structured. By structure, I mean you need to have verse, chorus. It's got to have a certain flow to it. It's not like progressive metal or even some black metal where you can go off on certain tangents for a certain amount of time. Can't really do that in power metal, especially if you want to do straightforward power metal. So Notes of the Shadow was really structured. Just every song was just – could have been a hit, as how I looked at it. So I was expecting this with Black Eyed Children. And like I said, it's a good album, but it's not good enough for them.
You would expect the bar to be a little higher.
Yes, I expected it to be more how it was when they wrote Astralism or New Revelation back in 2006, 2007, where they were just peaking. They were just hitting every single button on all single levels, and they just didn't do it with this record. Well, like I said, this record's good. I'm going to just look at a couple of tracks here. I'm looking on my phone. The first song is We Cry Out, first track. It starts off great. It's a great song. It flows nicely. It's about 4.5 minutes long, and it just it doesn't go off on a tangent. It just goes straightforward, and that's it. And that's what power metal is really about. Unless you're progressive power metal, it's a different story. Sure. But then you have songs. Then you have the next track, Walls, just drops the tempo dramatically. You can't drop the tempo that early, and it just.
So we're talking about going from like a hearty gallop down to just mid tempo, or like a ballad, or what are we talking here?
It's not a ballad, but it's not a ballad, but it's got the speed of a ballad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's very slow going. Also, it seems like they didn't have enough lyrics to go with the music, where there was a lot of stopping in between.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense. But it just seems like he was either dragging a certain note a little too long.
Huh.
Yeah, there was no good flow to it, you know? It's not like let's say, Glory Hammer or even a Halloween or something like that, where the flow is constantly going, it's constantly moving. This is almost like it stopped for a little bit.
You can't keep mentioning Glory Hammer on this podcast because I'm just going to keep swooning every time. I love that band so much.
Because Glory, because Glory Hammer is quite awesome. I mean,
they are. A notable exception to my power metal ignorance.
And I will take credit. I will take credit for getting you into Glory Hammer
as well. You should. You absolutely got me into Glory Hammer. 100%.
I'm proud, and I am proud of that. It's almost like a child I grew in to be a great power metal warrior.
The way I describe that album, folks at home, if anyone has yet to hear, with Space 92, Rise of the Chaos Wizards, I believe that's mm-hmm. the full title. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Came out a couple of years ago. It's the second full length from Glory Hammer. Yeah.
Yes,
the way I would describe this album is as follows. And this is me not really being a power metal enthusiast. This album just takes all the possible cheese buttons that I guess you could call it the cheese buttons, the different elements of cheesiness that, you know, they like the different tropes, like whatever you want to call them. It pushes these buttons in just the right order so as to make me like completely powerless to resist. It's just it's amazingly cheesy, but drop the Lee cheesy from that. It's just amazing. Like, it's just amazing. You can amazingly cheesy minus Lee cheesy. It's awesome. And if you haven't heard this album, I highly, highly recommend you fix that because it's right. Wonderful.
Right. Exactly. And the reason why I bring that up is because you've heard it, Dan. It just flows so well.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to it, there's no dragging of lyrics. There's no areas of awkward music but no lyrics where you think like there could be something here. It's not, like I said, it's not like other type of music. It's very structured. You have certain types of metal have certain types of sounds.
Right.
And power metal is just very straight line. And that's what I heard from back to Astral Doors, 2014, Nose of the Shadow. It was like that. You can listen to it and it's almost like you can't take your mind off of it.
Mm-hmm.
This with this, especially with the song Walls, which was the second track, which we're still on. I just started to, my mind started to drift away from it. And that doesn't happen much with good power metal.
And that's a steep cliff to jump off for the second song on the album.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a steep cliff to jump off in general, but when it's the second song on the album, it's almost like even more treacherous for a band to lose you like that, you know?
Right. Right. What helps Astral Door is the fact they've had such a good fan base for such a long time. I think as fans, even for someone like myself, I can still, you know, still stay with it for a little bit, because then you know, you go into the next two tracks, God is the Devil and Die on Stage. Those are good songs.
Okay.
They're rocking songs. Remember, Astral Doors is power metal, but it's also very hard rock. Right. So you're going to get that hard rock sound to it as well. Just a rocking good sound. And Die on Stage especially. I know that I've seen a couple of reviews where that was sometimes the worst, considered the worst song. To me, it's a good song because okay. it's very – one thing that Astral Doors does is a lot of a lot of homages to rock.
Okay.
Not even so much to metal, just to rock itself. And this is that one, and it's good. But then it gets into a song like Tomorrow's Dead. Tomorrow's Dead is so – it just threw me off completely because the verses have the loud guitar, the strong vocals. The chorus gets lighter, and I've never heard that before.
Lighter how? How do you mean?
The guitars get very low. His voice gets very calm. And I'm thinking to myself, that's normally – the chorus is normally when you get a little bit stronger than the verses.
Right, you want to make it memorable.
Yeah, and it dropped. And that's where that song is where I lost the album. Wow. That's where I just said to myself, yeah, this is where I got disappointed. I'm like, I don't like what I'm listening to at this point. Mm. It gets better towards the end. Songs like Suburban Song and Slave to Ourselves, they're very good songs because they're very passionate.
Okay.
They're very passionate, very, very, very powerful. It's almost like you get into the song itself. That's a beautiful thing about what got me into power metal so much. If you think about bands like Hammerfall and Blind Guardian and Helloween, Gamma Ray, you just had these bands that almost whenever they were singing, they sucked you into it and you felt exactly what they were feeling. I mean, I think about when I used to listen to one of my favorite power metal of all time, Gamma Ray's No World Order, which came out in 2001.
Yep.
Heart of the Unicorn.
I've actually heard that one.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
they sold Heart of a Unicorn.
Okay.
The music and the lyrics and the way Kyansson sings it, it brings you in. It's almost like you're thinking exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. Power metal's got that special blend of passion. It's singing, so it's more you can grasp instead of the grunting or the screaming or the Cookie Monster vocals, whatever you want to call it, of extreme metal or whatever. Where this is where the singing is. Singing always to me, maybe because I love power metal so much, brings you in a little bit stronger because there's better pitch levels, I guess. I don't know if I'm explaining that right, but it's just something different about someone singing it than screaming it. Then again, I could be totally wrong, but that's how I feel. But they were able to do that. And those two songs, let me see, Suburban Song and Slaves to Ourselves from the Astral Doors record really brought you in. And I was like, okay, the ending is getting, it's finally bringing me back in, you know?
Picking back up.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, there's two songs left. The last song is basically almost like a bonus track, even though it's not.
Are you talking about Jesus Christ Movie Star? Because
yes.
I love
yes.
that title.
Yes. Yes. But before I get into that,
okay,
the disappointing part, really disappointing part, was the final track, Black Eyed Children.
Okay.
It's 8 minutes and 46 seconds long. And it does not keep you for 8 minutes and 46 seconds.
That's a tough one. If you're gonna go out with a song like that to close the album, like you better hook somebody.
Yeah, there's no hooking anybody. If there's any hooking, it's hooking the band off the stage, almost like the Gong Show in a sense. It didn't really flow well. And like I said, it's not bad. It's not like you're gonna listen to it and go, oh, it sucks. You're not going to think that way, but you're going to think to yourself, if you know Astral Doors, I at least thought to myself, I should just say my own thoughts, was like, they could have done much better than this. And after 3 years, you thought they could do something better than this. It's a good album. I'll listen to it once and again, but not like I listen to albums like Astralism and New Revelation and Notes of the Shadow. Evil, I believe Evil is Forever is the name of the album. I'm not really sure, but it was that was their second album. It would have, it doesn't keep me like those albums do, but they do end on a great way. I will say that they will do end on a great way. Jesus Christ, Movie Star is just a fun song to listen to. But that's the thing. It's supposed to be like a bonus track of sorts. Uh-huh. And it's a shame when the bonus track is the best song on the record.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be that way. Yeah. And it starts off great. It starts off like the singer, Nils Patrick Johansson, is supposed to be like one of those TV evangelist preachers.
Okay.
Jesus loves you and you love Jesus, you know? And he says, it's time to open up your hearts and open up your wallet. And it's a song basically about that, which they've done a lot with religious type of lyrics. They've taken that approach to it in a sense. So it ends well, but overall, it didn't fulfill me as much as those other Astral Doors records did. And I'm a huge Astral Doors fan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a shame. That's a shame. I mean, you know, it's, again, to your point from earlier, it seems like, you know, it definitely has its moments and it seems like it's not a bad album, but you want more from the point, the comparison I would make, the last Blind Guardian record, Beyond the Red Mirror. I didn't think that was a bad album, but from Blind Guardian, I'm expecting more than not bad. You know, I wasn't nuts about it. I think it definitely had its moments, but it also had its points where it kind of lost me a bit. And that can be very disappointing in and of itself.
Yes, especially you talk about that album, especially after At the Edge of Time, I believe the 2011 record was before that, which was to me a superb record.
Yeah. I liked it.
It just flowed so well. Each song, it's almost like it just followed itself. It segued itself so perfectly. And, you know, Beyond the Red Mirror is a great record, but it's not as great as they could have done. It gets better with each listen. And even Astral Doors did. It got a little better with each listen, but a little better wasn't good enough. And still, when I listened to it, I actually listened to it this afternoon. And I still said to myself, I don't feel any different.
Yeah,
and I know I won't feel any different. Is it still in my library? Yes, because I have every single Astral Doors record. They're one of my favorite bands of all time. So I'll keep it in there. I just won't go to it as much as I will New Revelation.
Some of the other ones. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. So I know we talked. You mentioned briefly that they're power metal, but also kind of a hard rockin' sound. Mm-hmm. Are there any other bands out there, power metal or otherwise, that you would compare them to, like almost like a recommended if you like type thing for folks who may not be as familiar?
That's difficult because Neil Patrick Johansson's vocals are just so different from everybody else. But I would say a band like Inner Wish.
Okay.
Inner Wish's new record that came out last year, their self-titled record. I think you have that hard rock approach to it. So I think if you like a band like Inner Wish, or if you like a band like Astral Doors, like Inner Wish and vice versa, they don't, you know, Astral Doors does not have the high pitch vocals because he doesn't have that type of sound. If you listen to any of the Civil War records, the first three Civil War records, you're going to hear what he sounds like, or Lion's Share, or he's got such a unique voice. And I think that kind of thing in this record, that voice went a little to waste.
Interesting.
I think his vocals were great. I just think the music and the lyrics didn't accompany it well enough.
Okay. Fair enough. Yep. Fair enough. So in terms of Astral Doors, I know you touched on a couple of them before. The ones to check out from this band, Astralism, New Revelation, it sounds like Notes from the Shadows.
Yes.
Are there any others that you'd recommend?
If you want, I like it. Only it doesn't sound much like it because it was their first record, so I get to kind of get into it. But their first record, Of the Son and the Father.
Okay.
Listen, that's he's not as powerful in his vocals, but it's a good record because each song gives its own unique blend on almost on religion itself. So if you have that the lyrical aspect of it, plus the album cover is pretty neat if you don't like religion, especially Christianity.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It looks like it's almost like a modern, like a power metal take on, I see. First thing I think of is like a Master of Puppets type thing, all those crosses sitting there, you know.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay. The Son and of the Father. Of the Son and the Father, not
of the Son and the Father. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, Astral Doors, the album is Black Eyed Children. It is album number, I'm counting here on the Metal Archives page, album number 8 from Astral Doors, and it is out now on, what is this label? Metalville.
Records.
So, okay, cool. So, before we jump into the album that you do like, I just want to kind of go deeper into something, or just, you know, some points you had made before. You mentioned just as just vital ingredients of power metal, or of a good power metal album, I guess. You mentioned structure, you mentioned flow, you mentioned just keeping your interest. What else do you look for when you listen to an album, just you as a listener, whether power metal or otherwise? What are some of your personal criteria?
Okay, well, when it comes to a lot of, especially the European style power metal, which I'm a huge fan of, it's what got me into power metal, you know, thinking of Halloween and whatnot.
Sure.
It's less riffs, more melody. I want to hear more melody. Riffs are great. I love riffs. You know, I'm a Manowar fan. I love a good heavy riff. But when it comes to that pure power metal, I want to hear some melody involved. Maybe play a few more solos. Maybe the verse will have more licks than riffs. Give me something that more, especially with European power metal, I want anthemic lyrics. I want anthemic sound. I want something that will raise my sword into the air, go into battle with pride. I don't want to hear something that's going to drop me low, unless the album is specifically tailored to that. If you're a band that keeps a storyline, like a Gloryhammer, although this doesn't apply to Gloryhammer itself, but if you continue a storyline, if there's a what I call an Empire Strikes Back type of album, mm-hmm. where the bad guys are getting the upper hand, drop it low, but keep it that way. Don't try to back and forth it. There's a new album that came out recently, Cryonic Temple, Into the Glorious Battle, which was an up and down. I know Chris Voss did a review for it, but to me, it was a tremendous record because it gave you the up and down. It gave you the storyline, and each song traveled that way. Okay. It wasn't, I think of some black metal records that may have, or death metal, they may have a storyline, an up and down storyline, but the sound is the same only because that's the way they are. Power metal, you can travel from heavy, speedy to slow ballads. You have that window. You have that room. Give it to me. I want that room. Now, if you have something like progressive power metal, then you give those progressive touches, melodic power metal. You give those more deeper, lower sounds, those less fantastical driven lyrics, more real life lyrics. The US metal, you add more thrash, kind of like Iced Earth is. So it all depends on the style of metal the band is. But when it comes to the European style, it's more that anthemic, ride into battle, you know, slay thy enemy, you know?
Okay. Fair enough. These are things I'm making mental notes of this because these are things I'm going to have to like listen to when I start expanding my own power metal horizons. So
you can always give me a call if you want to, if you have any feelings towards a certain album.
No,
I'll guide you the right way.
It's great because I feel like my buddy Sean does this. He's not into any one genre of metal. He's like open to trying anything, but he just on his own, he just hasn't gotten very deep into metal. He's like he's a big Metallica guy. He's like Megadeth. I think the most like underground, and they're not even really underground, but the most underground he's gotten has been Electric Wizard. And you know, which good band, you know, no, not knocking them, but whenever, you know, whenever he like, and Sean, if you're listening, I'm not saying this to make fun, but he always like, he'll text myself and my buddy Judd, and he'll be like, all right, what's out there? What do you got? Why do you like it? Blah, 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 blah. So I'll definitely be doing that with you as I continue to dive into the power metal world. Right. But also,
well, I tell you, I've been compiling my mid-year list for power metal records, because there's been some very good records out. There've been some not so good records. Avenford comes to mind, but there's been some very good records that I really enjoy and that get constant listens.
Yeah. You know? That Avenford album. Yeah. I tried that. That was another one that we had talked about, and I tried it. And I was just like, ugh, no.
You know what? The first
not feeling it.
Yeah, a quick review on the Avenford. The first Avenford record was good. I was expecting better. They dropped down to like absolutely dreadful, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm not even going to try this band anymore. They're not coming in. They're not coming into my power metal Valhalla."
Oh man, that is harsh, but probably deserved. Probably deserved. Alrighty, well, hey, we've had our you know, our dislike album. Let's move into one that, as I recall, you were quite into. The album is, it seems like it's a bit of a newer project. Yes. It is the debut album from Aldaria, which is called Land of Light. Am I correct? Is this a one man project from Norway?
It's a one man project. Frode Horb is basically does the songwriting, does the guitars, does most of the music. But when I listened to Avenford, I heard this was it's like a metal rock opera.
Okay.
And immediately what comes to my mind is Avantasia. If people don't know of Avantasia, that's the Ed Guy singer Tobias Sammet. He started his project Avantasia, which actually became at one point bigger than Ed Guy, which was beyond, but I didn't understand. But they were the first two albums, the Metal Opera Part 1 and Part 2, were great. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of dropped down to more symphonic rock.
Okay.
And they were good, but it wasn't great. So,
and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sorry to cut you off, but didn't like Ed Guy as well, like, didn't they kind of gradually sort of move away from the power metal stuff into more of like a lighter, you know, like more accessible kind of rock as well?
Well, they did at one point, but when it comes to Ed Guy, Ed Guy doesn't really, album to album, hell, song to song on a specific album, changes. I mean, you think of their last record, what is it called? Space Police. They have a power metal song. They have a glam metal song in Love Tiger, which is still to me one of the best songs I've ever heard in my life. they did a cover of Rock Me Amadeus. I mean, they just changed it. Hard rock, power metal, glam metal, just traditional metal. They liked it. Tobias Sammet I always said he to me is like, he's like a lot of these almost like a one man band, although he's got more people. That's just, he's got a great music mind.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really, he can expand both Ed Guy and Avantasia, which he's done. And he's been successful in both of them. But when Avantasia came, all of a sudden you saw all the rock operas. A whole bunch of metal rock operas come in. You know, these guys trying it out. And some of them work, some of them don't. But a lot of them don't. I think of 2015, Marius Danielson's Legend of Valley Doom was good, but the middle of it was just lost you, because it became more progressive metal and it became 11-minute songs and they're having different time changes and it just didn't work out well.
Yeah.
So I was a little weary when Avantasia came out. No, not Avantasia, I'm sorry. When Aldaria came out. But then I saw the list of guest musicians. You think of Matthias Blad, who was the singer from Falconer. Fabio Leone from
Rhapsody.
From Rhapsody. Or Rhapsody of Fire, whatever they're calling themselves nowadays. Roland Greppau plays guitar and does backing vocals. Siegfried Sammer, who's part of Visions of Atlantis, and Dragony, who does some vocals. They just had so many different great members of the power metal community. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I got to try this out. And what I was given by when I was given by Frode was 11 tracks of passionate, some soothing, some painful, and some amazingly robust music that sucks you in, because it doesn't, you don't lose yourself with this record. I didn't lose myself at all. You may have a couple of heavy songs, then a ballad, then maybe a song that starts into a ballad. I think of the song Lost in the Darkness Below. Starts off very slow, but then just comes up strong. Test of Time, which to me is the best song on the album. Then Trail of Tears is a ballad, which Matthias Blad, who is the singer of Falconer, he sings that one, and that's probably my favorite metal vocalist of all time. Oh, because he's got a very, for people who don't know Falconer, the first two records, and then the fifth record on, because he left for a few for two of the records, he's got a very low key, a very operatic vocal style, and it's one of those things where if you never heard Falconer, just check out Falconer. Check out their second album, Chapters of a Veil Forlorn, or their last album, Black Moon Rising. I know they retired as a live band, but I think they still continue as a studio band. Okay. But you just check his voice. He's got a very beautiful voice. And beautiful is okay in power metal. Right. It may not be okay in death metal and
sludge.
I don't think you'll be hearing Doug from Piron singing any beautiful style vocals anytime soon. But power metal, it's for that. It's that welcome change from the heavier stuff. And I think he gives the greatest performance on Aldaria's Land of Light. The last song, basically the title track, Land of Light.
Okay.
You have four different vocalists. It's Fabio Leone. It's let me see if I get the names right. It's Siegfried Sammer. I think it's Eli Prison. I can't remember the name. I can't remember the name of the other two. But they just give all four of them. They do like certain different parts of the song. It's 11 minutes long. The song.
Yeah.
And.
Almost 12. It looks like 11.
Almost 12.
52.
Yeah, but it keeps you going. It slows down for maybe 30 seconds, but that's already maybe 9 minutes into the song. Uh-huh. It really gets you going. It really gets you going. Really keeps you focused on the singers, on the music, and the music is done incredibly well. A nice symphony orchestra. You're not going to get – there's just some extreme vocals. They add some extreme vocals in there maybe for for a specific character of the story, maybe an evil character story. They add that in there. But it really just – it's one of the best metal rock operas I've heard. It's probably the best.
Wow.
It probably beats Metal Opera Part 1 of Anastasia. It's really good. Everything was done perfectly. I mean, this is one of the most perfect records I've ever listened to.
Wow, that is high praise.
Yes, this is my album of the year so far.
You just saved me a question. I was going to ask, like, how would this thing like place on your year so far or your end of year list? But I guess I know now.
Yeah. Right now it's number one. I'm expecting maybe Unleash the Archers in early June to maybe take that over, only because I'm just a huge fan of Unleash the Archers. And then again, Ice Earth is coming out, Jack Panther's coming out. You know, so it's still a long way to go.
The year is young.
Yeah. But right now Aldaria is up there at number one, and the number two is a long way to go to reach it, and it's never going to reach it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Power metal bands, you're on alert. Your bar has been set for 2017.
Yeah. Aldaria's Land of Light. Check it out. I even if you don't like power metal, just check it out. See if you like it. If you hate it, just email me or tell me or Instagram me. Tell me, yeah, this album sucks, you loser.
Or in this age of the internet, you could post passive aggressive tweets and, you know, blah, 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 power metal, blah, 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 140 characters.
Yeah, go ahead and do that. I'm not on Twitter anymore.
Neither of us are. Cyber high five.
All right.
Oh man. All righty. Well, very cool. We've got both ends of the spectrum with these albums. So you mentioned I know Aldaria is number one. You mentioned Jagdpanzer, Iced Earth, Unleash the Archers. There are other albums you're watching out for in the power metal realm this year. What about outside power metal? Whether other genres of metal or other stuff you've been listening to? I mean, has anything been on your radar now that we've conquered this portion of the of the interview?
Oh, sure. Sure. Are you talking about albums that haven't come out yet or albums already come out?
Albums that have come out. Like what else have you been listening to?
Okay, well, right now for me, if it wasn't for power metal, if the genre never existed, right now my number one would probably be Satan's Hallow, which is a traditional metal record.
Okay,
you can find it on Bandcamp. It's a self-titled record. It's to me, it's a very strong album. I mean, it's one of like it's the eternal champion Summerlins of 2017.
Okay,
put onto it. I'm just gonna take a look at my iPod because I have my iPod here. I'm gonna just take a look at some of the album.
Is that an iPod Classic or
iPod Touch? iPod Touch.
Oh darn.
Yeah, no. My classic's been long dead.
My classic is still alive, but the screen took a blow while I was moving to Jersey City last year, so the screen doesn't quite work anymore. If I connect it, I can still put music on it, and if I connect it through my car, I can see what's on it and play it and stuff like that, but to like take on the go with me, no more.
So what you're saying is useless.
It's half useless. It's like Billy Crystal in The Princess Bride. It's like, fortunately, it's not all dead. It's just mostly dead, you know? Like that's where my iPod is at. It's mostly useless.
That is the perfect comparison. I like that. Thank you very much. but I'm going through my iPod right now. People may think I'm not true metal. I may have to leave the hall, although I'm a Manowar fan.
Cyclonius.
I have full immunity to the hall because I'm a Manowar fan. But Demon Hunter's new record, Outlive.
Okay.
I know
that's another one that I'm not terribly familiar with.
Yeah. Well, I think that's more of the metalcore. The metalcore slash. I don't think there's any slash. I think it's just metalcore.
New wave of American heavy metal.
Yeah. But I really love the album. I've been a Demon Hunter fan for a long time. I think they've had a certain thing that other metalcore bands have. Like I listened to the new what's the band? I forget the band's name already. The guy who loves guns and loves Republicans. What's his name?
Oh, All That Remains.
All That Remains. All That Remains. Yeah.
The guy that loves guns and Republicans. That's the best way to describe Phil.
I have no qualms. You'll love whatever you love, but I listen to that album, and it's just I couldn't listen to 4 seconds of it. I just thought, look, okay, it's bad.
I don't know if you ever read, Corey and I live tweeted their, or live reviewed, live blogged their last album. It came out. This is going back. Like I think this was when we were still Horns Up. but yeah, they're just. I mean, they never were that good. But now it's just like it's just really not my thing.
Yeah. Well, the last album that came out, I think it was 2015. The last album came out, because they had it on, they were streaming it live on AOL on not AOL Music. I'm sorry.
It's Apple Music.
I'm going back. Yeah, Apple Music. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was I'm like, yeah, let me listen. I went to the shower and listened to it. I'm like, it's not that bad. Then I listened to it without the water running. I'm like, no, it sucks. Maybe the water made it a little bit better. So maybe All That Remains is good when you're, listening in the shower. Now, whatever the guy's name is, I forget, Phil Labonte, that's his name. He's gonna tweet that something about me if he listens to the Nine Circles review.
I mean, come on. Like, he may have questionable judgment, but let's be real. He's not Donald Trump here.
That's true. I agree with that.
I don't think he's quite that easy to trigger. Yeah. But the one thing I can say about All That Remains is that they are definitely a band.
I agree with that. That's
all I've got.
They have instruments.
They are a band. Yes.
Yes.
So,
I agree with that.
Credit to them for that. Okay. All right.
So I'm looking through this. Body Count's new record, tremendous.
You know, I've been hearing a lot about that. I haven't gotten around to it. It's good though.
Yeah. Manslaughter was good. This is 10 times. This is probably their best record ever.
Wow.
Yes. Okay. Best record ever. Yeah. Okay. And I love Body Count. I have all their records. I love all of their records. This one's their best.
Okay.
This one's so good. Although there's only one song I don't like too much, which is called Walk With Me, because Randy Blythe just does not sound well. Does not sound good in it. I'm sorry. Doesn't sound good. Yeah. But other than that, it's good.
He doesn't sound good, like, even by Randy Blythe standards, or
he's almost like trying to give like a southern accent to his
Jarl.
Yeah. I'm like, don't worry about it. Just scream. You know, take a listen to it. Let me know what you think.
Okay, I will.
I don't know. You're the black metal guy, so I don't know if I'm saying this right. Havukrunu? Is that the name of the band?
Yeah. I saw, it's funny. This was a weird turn of events. I saw that you had listened to that the other day, and I was like, oh, it's black metal, and Frank really likes it. He reviewed it on Bandcamp, so I am going to assume that I'll like it too. I'm just going to put it on my wish list. And Anton got it for me like later that day. I haven't had a chance to listen to it because I've been doing some research for another piece I'm working on. Going to keep that cryptic, another Nine Circles project. I haven't listened to it yet. Havukrunu. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
I'm pronouncing this name, the album name, wrong, and I'm so sorry. But Kelly Surutsoy. I don't know. I'm not Finnish. But I will say I love that record because not only is it just black metal, it's got like an epic Viking metal approach to it.
Okay.
It's got a Gregorian chant, a choir, and it's almost like, we're going to die, but we're going to die fighting. Yeah, all right. Yeah, I don't know.
And that would be right up your alley. I know that.
Yeah. When it comes to metal, I love – it could be anything. I love epic metal. I love something that sounds epic.
Okay.
So that sounds like – almost sounds like it could be in a movie because I love that. I love that charge, that ride to glory. That's why I love Hammerfall so much. That's why I love Manowar so much. I mean, Manowar is part of that. But that's what Manowar is all about, you know?
Yeah,
so absolutely. That's why. Yeah, that's wild, and you know, for that to come out in black metal, I like some black metal here and there, or what's called some of it's called post metal. I have no idea what post metal is. I'm so sorry, but but I
post metal. The best way I can describe post metal is it's like the metal that you listen to when you're underwater and like submerged. Almost like that sonically. I mean, that's the best way I can describe it. It's very thick. It's dense. It's like, it's just immersive. Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
Speaking of post-metal, I know we're going off on a tangent here, but what the hell? We can do whatever the hell we want.
Damn it. It's our podcast. We can do what we want.
I have a question for you because you're more involved in the scene more. I listen to this band. I'm not a big fan of this band, but they're not bad. I want to know something. What is the big deal? What is up everyone's ass with Death Heaven? They're not my type of music. I won't listen to them, but they're not bad either. They're okay. Why is everyone so angry with them? I don't understand this question.
that's just people like it's a band that feasts on people's insecurities. I get it. I'm not going to call them black metal. They're not black metal. They do their own thing. And, you know, like, It instead of, you know, like if you don't like a thing, like not listening to it, people are just using that as an excuse to be triggered. And I remember like one time I had a conversation with someone who was like, they were so upset about Deaf Heaven. I'm leaving this person nameless, but they were so upset about Deaf Heaven because Deaf Heaven means that people who know nothing about metal can all of a sudden say they like metal. And that just bugs me so much. I'm just like, so fucking what?
Like, you know what? It reminds me of when Metallica put out the Black Album. I'm not a fan of the Black Album. I like one song on it. Don't Tread on Me. Other than that, I don't like anything. I don't like much in the album. But everyone was like, I can't like Metallica anymore because now my little sister likes this album, so I can't like it. Like, who the hell cares? What does that matter?
It's just people. Like, it's just people being insecure. You know what? Like they're not comfortable enough with themselves as people that they have to rail against something that like dares to be different, dares to try something new, sounds alien, you know, like whatever. They're fucking like xenophobes and they're stupid. And you know, like if you don't, it's this simple. Like I like Deaf Heaven. If you don't, that's cool. Just don't listen to them. Right. That's it. You know, like, I'm not going to get on someone's case for not liking Deaf Heaven, but I am going to get on someone's case for being like a little titty baby about not liking Deaf Heaven, which is like what the internet does, you know?
Right. And I mean, that's how I feel when people just trash power metal so much like they normally do. But like I said, for me, when it comes to Deaf Heaven, I don't probably won't listen to them only because it's not really my style of music. But sure. I listened to their albums. I listened to two of their albums. I don't know if they have any more. I'm not sure. But they were. It was good. It was fine. It was nothing. I'm like, because I saw so many people on Twitter. Some of them were still on Twitter. I'm like, they're like attacking Deaf Heaven. It was when Deaf Heaven did the Ray-Ban sunglasses thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I do remember that.
And then our good friend Kim Kelly. She was part of that like video piece. Uh-huh. And people started getting on her. I'm like, I gotta finally see what this Deaf Heaven is all about. And I listen, I'm like, I don't see the big to do about this. They sound like a band.
Yeah.
Hey.
They're a band.
they're a band.
You know, like they're better a band.
Better than All That Remains, of course. I'm gonna say that.
Yes. Not that that bar has been set all that high, but. True. But yeah, they're a band. People are stupid. I don't know. Like that's all I have to say about it. I will say, recommend going to check them out live if ever you get the chance. They are a very powerful live band. They bring a good show. So
we'll do. I'll definitely check that out. I mean, I'm the kind of guy, if there's a show, if I can make it, like I go to shows that, I have, like when we went to the Inner Armor show, I had no idea who Inner Armor was until we actually got to the show, and I'm like, oh, it's not that bad. And I kind of like them. Yeah. You know, hey, listen, it's metal. I'll go to any metal show, whether it's a glam metal show or a black metal show, and I'll go there and I'll have myself a good time.
Yeah.
It's because I love the music. I can get into it. I can party. I can have a good time.
That's the way to be, man. That's the way to be.
You only live once.
Yeah, YOLO! Exactly. The first time I saw Deaf Heaven, I still, one of the funniest experiences of my life. They were like the token heavy band at Governor's Ball 2014. Governor's Ball, which is a pop festival. Yes. They had just like the year before Sunbather came out. They were like riding the popularity machine. It was they were huge. And, you know, Governor's Ball got them and they set them up. They played in the middle of the afternoon in the tent at Governor's Ball, which the tent is normally where like a lot of electronic bands, DJs play, stuff like that, because it's covered. They can put on a light show even in the afternoon. They can do smoke machines, stuff like that, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So naturally there were a lot of like EDM fans there, like frat boys, sorority girls, stuff like that, checking out.
I'm already loving this story.
You know, they were checking out the previous act. And the way Governor's Ball is set up, it's like you have two bands playing at one time. There are four stages in total. Two of them are occupied at any one time. And they're far enough apart that they kind of, you know, they drown, you know, they don't drown each other out sound-wise. So people had like kind of stuck their claim to
the space in the tent and they weren't moving. And I'm looking around and I'm like, my brother and I are there. I'm looking around. I'm like, none of these people know who Deaf Heaven is, and this is going to be wonderful. And sure enough, none of them knew who Deaf Heaven was, what they were getting themselves into. And by the time they started, it was too late to like feasibly like get over to the other stage, get a good spot for the other band. So they were stuck there. And
that's wonderful.
The looks of just like abject horror on people's faces, just heartwarming, priceless like horrified looks.
That's wonderful. I love
it was the best.
That's great.
And to their credit, a lot of people like stuck it out and listened and you know battled through it, so I give them credit.
And their dreams are constantly haunted now, which is great, because there's nothing I like more than EDM fans being haunted by heavy metal.
Yeah,
this is great.
It was wonderful. It like made the festival for me. Actually, no, that's not true. Outkast reuniting that year and headlining the festival, that made
that's
festival
pretty. That's me. Pretty cool. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, anyway, we've been going for you know a good hour here. Is there anything else? I know. I actually. There is something else I want to ask you about because I know, you know, you've got your blog.
Okay. Well, no. Okay. Well, there's two different sites that I haven't. One I use is Frank of Metal.
Right. I know that
that's,
one.
That's no longer just being used. Because it's about writing and I don't write much.
Okay.
I'm more of a talker because I'm an Italian. I talk a lot.
Well, and this is leading me to my next point. I know that you bought yourself a little microphone recently and you were talking about testing it out and everything. So what do you got in the works, Frankie boy? What are you working on?
So what I am working on is I'm working on what I'm going to change the name. It's Power Metal and Glory right now, but I will be changing it. Don't know what I'm going to be changing it to yet, but I'm in the works. It is in the works now. Officially, I will be starting my own Power Metal radio show.
Nice.
Almost like a podcast type. It won't be a live radio show. Right now, I'm thinking every 2 weeks, I'm going to do about an hour and a half to 2 hours of just playing power metal tunes. Maybe you know a couple of tunes, you know, three or four tunes. I come in, I talk about certain things. I talk about maybe new power metal albums coming out or certain things. Read emails. As end time when people would send me emails, but I want to start a realm where people can listen to power metal and power metal only. They you know if they can like I said, it's like a podcast. They can stop and start whenever they want to. So I'd record it and put it in the podcast, not a live thing. And I own over 1,000 power metal records. From over 500 different bands.
Oh, man.
There's a lot of power metal from 1987 to 2017. And I just want to put out some of the great stuff, the stuff that I grew up with, the stuff that I love, the stuff that really got me into heavy metal and power metal. I may add some like epic traditional metal, you know, like an Eternal Champion, stuff like that, because it's got a little power metal, I guess, if you will. But I'm putting Manowar in there. I don't care what anybody says. Manowar is going in there. But
of course.
I just want to try to get people to respect power metal a little bit more. I can understand where back in the early 2000s, the late 90s, I should say, late 90s to about 2014, power metal really sunk, like a lot of metal did, especially in the late 90s. But then when the new wave American metal started, the more aggressive style came back, power metal still was under the radar. Around 2013, 2014, it started to rise up. Mm-hmm. Then you have 2015 came out, bands like Judicator. Glory Hammer put out their second record. Tanagra, Unleash the Archers. Civil War put out their second record. Dragony, Automaton. There's been so many good bands that came out. 2016 kept that trend going. And 2017 is continuing it. And I think that if people just listen to some of the power metal, I think they can gain a little more respect for it or a little more liking towards it. I'm not going to say they're going to be huge fans like I am or like a lot of big fans are. I don't expect that. Right. But even to just say, you know what, I'm going to respect it like I respect other genres. Because it doesn't get – I know some people who respect metalcore more than power metal because it's more aggressive. And which is fine.
Just, they have made questionable life choices.
Well, I mean, you could say that. But I mean, listen, it's fine. Whatever you like, you like. But right. I just see the disrespect. It's more the disrespect to power metal. It's almost like, oh, look, Twilight Force got a purple dragon on the album cover. Shh, that's not metal. that's gay.
You don't want a purple dragon on your album cover. You're fucking stupid. So there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all cheesy. It's corny. It's gay. This, that, and the other thing. And I don't know if I'm going to change their minds. I'm probably not. I just want to try, you know? I love, you know me, Dan. I love power metal. I defend power metal. I don't back down when someone attacks power metal. And I do not care what people think of me, because power metal morphed me into who I am today.
Right.
And I mean, I could say this in a certain way. I'm a pretty nice guy. You know, I'm a pretty nice guy. I'm just going to say that myself.
You absolutely are. Most valuable Metal Bandcamp Gift Club player. Most valuable Frank.
But, you know, I just hopefully I could just change some minds. Maybe not even to like it. Just to say, hey, it's not as bad as I thought it was. If you even say that, I'd be like, all right, I did it.
Well, I have two things to say to that. Number one, I can't think of a better power metal evangelist than you, Mr. Santarelli, and I am stoked as hell to listen to this thing. Number two, you know, like you mentioned, like not changing people's minds and some people being like dicks to power metal. Guess what? You'll be doing this. You'll be putting something out there in the world that isn't like negative comments. I mean, because really, like, what are those people contributing but negative internet anonymous like comments? Whereas you're fucking producing something, you're putting something together, and you're doing something that you love. So, you know, you win no matter what. Like,
yeah, well, I appreciate that. I truly appreciate that. You know, I'm being on social media for so long. I see it sometimes on Instagram too, but not as much naturally because it's not just your basic social media content. But I just seen too much negativity. I haven't seen so much of, you know what, I'm not a fan of it, but if you like it, that's fine. It's almost that people want to attack it, and then if you call them out on it, you're an SJW. Or you're you're trying to silence them, First Amendment, free speech, and all that crapola. And I think to myself, no, I'm just trying to show you that you're a dick. That's all I'm trying to show you. That just
fucking grown up. Like that's all.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, what really drove me off of Twitter is someone tweeted about the goes. A friend wants to know about power metal. I don't know how to explain it. And someone tweeted back to that person, say it's metal only gay. And I said to myself, and I said on Twitter, why? That's the oldest insult in the book. Do better than that. And all of a sudden, people started calling me a social justice warrior. I didn't say you stop saying it. I said you're a loser for saying it.
Yeah.
That's all. You could say it if you want to. You're a loser. That's all I'm saying. But that's the thing. Immediately they play the victim. And I said to myself, I'm done with this garbage. It's besides all the politics and crap on there. It was just more of the anti-metal and the, I'm going to attack this. And I'm going to be a tough guy, and if you try to silence me, I'm going to make believe that I'm the good guy and you're the bad guy. Fuck you.
Yeah. So social media is really just a cesspool of awfulness. As demonstrated by our man baby in chief. So
exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, the less said and done, about that and on that, the better.
Exactly. So. Yep.
Alrighty. Well, Frank, this has been a pleasure beyond belief. I'm super stoked to have had this conversation with you. I'm super stoked for your radio show whenever it comes to fruition. Any parting thoughts, final words for the Nine Circles community before we sign off this edition?
Absolutely. Two albums I want you to listen to. Palmetto albums. These are one I think a lot of people will love. I think the other one a lot of people won't love, but just try it anyway. The one everyone will love is Seven Kingdoms, the new album, Decennium. Okay. It's incredible. It's incredibly done. They did a whole crowdfunding thing, and they did it so well. The second one is Majesty, Rebels. The album's called Rebels. And that's just that song specifically. If you need to listen, just listen to the song called YOLO Heavy Metal. That's all you need to do.
All right.
It is a very good song, by the way. I will say that.
Well, and I think you really mean you on three albums for people to listen to, because we have to recommend Aldaria as well, don't we?
Absolutely. I thought that was already mentioned.
Yeah. All righty. Well,
absolutely. Check it out.
Frank, thank you so much for taking time out of your Tuesday evening coming on. This was a blast. We look forward to having you back for another one of these inter-review things, whatever we're calling them. We got to come up with a catchy name for it, segment title. But yeah, dude, thank you so much, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. I had a great time. Hopefully, I sound okay on this, and I'm better speaking than writing. So, whenever you want me back on, just let me know. I'll be on.
Oh, we will. We most certainly will. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right. Take care.